It is a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to have electricity. And that is, seriously, that is something inside of Burma that they do not have regular electricity like we enjoy. And so last time I was in Burma about a month ago, I was just, again, a reminder of the blessings we enjoy in America, constant electricity. These people have these big old boxes that some of you may remember from years gone by, voltage regulators, and every day they're using these things, so they don't know how long are they going to have consistent power at their house, you know. And it's a different society there, but praise the Lord for the blessings that He gives to us. I'm thankful for the special music and all the singing tonight. Wow, that really prepares our hearts to hear from the Lord. Let that be our joy, right? To be able to hear and to obey, to make God's will our will. I was thinking, praise the Lord. We're gathered here tonight to hear from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. And we're going to be reading in verses 7 down to verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and tonight I don't want to assume that I can do anything apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, You've given us this opportunity to meet together, to hear from You. And Lord, we want to hear. We need to hear from You. We need to understand Your words. And so we pray for that right now. We just pause and ask that Your Holy Spirit would illuminate Scripture, that we would all be able to make application, that You would help me to speak clearly and right on mark, Lord, with what You would have to be communicated. I love You, Lord, and I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to be ministering over in the country of Thailand with people groups from Burma. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nat, my wife Anne. We have two small kids, Paul and Ellie. And we really enjoy one-on-one interaction with people in a Bible study group. I should say that about my wife and myself. My kids don't really know what's happening. They just know that Daddy is gone quite often on teaching the Bible. They know that now. Daddy's going in the morning, okay, he's going to teach the Bible, okay, come back. And our prayer is as they get older that, you know, Paul will tag along with me and we can do Bible studies together. They are our number one disciples, and we invest a lot of our time teaching them, training them, and praying for them. And today, as I want to talk about deep things that we have been entrusted with in the gospel. Here's a question for you. How do you define blessings in your life? When you think of the word blessing, what do you think about? Think about a possession, something good that will happen down the road. I know years ago, I had a framed calligraphic print of verses 9, actually just verse number 9. It was beautiful. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And, you know, I think of that framed print, and I thought, wow, it's amazing. You know, God has so many things for us that are greater than we can comprehend. And that is true. And I was reading this passage recently. I was struck with the fact that oftentimes we think about the blessings of God in a very humanistic, natural way. But if we read about the blessings of God in this verse, you know, it's easy to skip verse 10, but look at it. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Don't stop in your Christian life at being comfortable in the shallows and saying, you know, one day, I'll be able to attain these blessings that God has for me. I can't see them now, but one day I'll be able to achieve them. Do you know, that's not the full depth of what it's talking about here. It's saying, God hath This is in the past tense. He's already revealed them through His Spirit. These are blessings that we have through salvation. And I'll just start off with that framework because I want to be very clear tonight that we as believers, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you have every spiritual blessing in Christ. God is not trying to withhold anything from you, but He is trying to explain these blessings through the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And I'm excited to be able to be a part of just opening up a little bit of Scripture tonight and seeing the Holy Spirit explain in a little more detail of these blessings. But first of all, I want you to understand that these are hidden from you. These spiritual blessings are not things that our eye can comprehend, that our mind can understand, or that we can understand with the feelings of our heart. In fact, it says in verse number 9, "Eye hath not seen," something that is invisible to the eye, nor ear heard, something we cannot hear about. No one is going to come to us in a natural way and just start explaining about some spiritual blessing that this is talking about here, because it's a deep blessing related to salvation. "Neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." So I was thinking about, what is God prepared for believers? What are these blessings that He's talking about? If we can't see them with the eye, if we can't hear about them with the ear, if they've not entered into the heart. And I love that phrase, entered in the heart, because it reminds me of the Thai language. They actually say in Thai, "My kauchai," it will not enter my understanding. Which, that's often what I feel like. I'm sorry, that just doesn't enter. I'm kind of thick-headed. But these things do not naturally enter into our understanding because they are spiritually discerned. So right there, if we stop and consider the blessings of God in our life, how often do we think of the blessing of God as being a financial blessing, being the blessing of a relationship, the blessing of maybe an open door for us to make a step further in some of the temporal things around us? Or we see a blessing as being spared from trials. We say, wow, that sure was a blessing that I was able to have traveling mercies to travel from one place to the next place. And we talk about blessings after blessings. But I'm thinking tonight about some deep blessings that God is revealing to us through the Spirit. And these are not physical blessings. These are blessings of the gospel. Do you know there is one major problem that we see constantly in ministry among people groups from Burma, and that is what is called the prosperity gospel, or a prosperity theology that is taught that if we ask for the right thing, then God will bless our life in a very physical way, and we will know the blessing of God because our physical life will prosper. And it's easy for me to see the fallacy in that as I'm teaching. And I see many small churches that have bought into this lie that if they can just claim the promises of God and somehow say the right words, then they'll be able to see the blessings. They'll be able to see the riches. And in their mind, the riches of God equal riches in finances, having a bigger house, having a larger ministry. Maybe they could add on and move to a bigger building, have an orphanage, have a school. And they're always thinking about big things. But you know, God wants us to understand not big things as spiritual blessings so much as deep things. Deep things. And I want to explain about, what do I mean by deep? I don't mean mysterious, even though the gospel is many times a mystery to those who are lost because it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not something that we can figure out in our minds until we come in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. Now we see here, these are not physical blessings, but they are spiritual blessings. They are things that God has already prepared for believers. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. This book of Ephesians gives us some clues about what these blessings are. If God has revealed these deep blessings to us, how has He revealed them? We see the method through the Spirit. But what are they? They are blessings of the gospel. Look at this. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, one of the first things that God has prepared for you as a child of God is adoption into His family. That no longer are we slaves and enemies because of sin, but God, as the scripture says, has translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, if you think about those words there, at one time we were, as it were, shackled to sin. We had no power to break free of that chain. But God broke the sin at the cross of Calvary. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ breaks that power of sin in your life and makes it possible for you to exit being a slave of sin, to enter and be a citizen of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's a wonderful truth here. This is a spiritual blessing that the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to us as believers. Not only were we separated from God because of sin, but we were separated from God in deep shame and dishonor. And that's something that we're learning as we are communicating the gospel to people in Asia, that they think very much every day about saving face and keeping honor. There are many words in the Thai language that deal with emotions and that deal with honor, showing respect. And that is one thing that the Thai people know very, very well, is how to show respect. They're very polite. They're very polite towards us. And one thing that we found is when we call ourselves teachers of the gospel, they respect that in a very high way. We are teachers. They treat us like family. And that's a good thing for us because many times someone who is learning about the Bible, because they want to show us respect, they will immediately give us not just one or two times to meet together, but they'll give us maybe a whole month of meetings because they want to show honor and respect to a teacher. Now, that is very different from the little experience that I've had teaching in other countries like Africa, let's say. It's really hard to get someone to get to the next Bible study. They're in one and then out and you never see them again many times. But we praise the Lord for that cultural bent that they have towards honor. But when we think about communicating the gospel to them, we often have to think about what are they thinking when they hear of the gospel in context of honor and shame. When they think about sin, the breaking of God's law, the Thai people can really connect with that sin brings shame. And when you have shame in your life, it is one of the worst things that could ever happen to you as a Thai person. Now, I'm talking about the Thai people because we live predominantly with Thai and Shan people, which are very closely related to the Thai all around us. So we've been learning a lot about sharing the gospel to them. And as I have friends that are helping me understand the mindset of people from Burma, I'm realizing that one of the worst things that could happen to a Thai or to a Burmese person is to be separated from the group that gives them honor and respect. When they are separated from that group, it is like, you know, that is the worst thing. It's worse than losing all their money. It's worse than losing anything that they have, to be separated, to be the only person apart from the group that gives them honor. And I think about that in Ephesians as it talks about, and even in chapter number 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, in verse number 4, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Not only does Christ deal with the sin in our lives, and He pays for that at the cross of Calvary, but He restores a lost sinner to a place of honor in Jesus Christ. And as we communicate the gospel around the world, it is just amazing to see how the Bible addresses every culture, every social twist and bent. The gospel addresses because it deals with the heart. The words of God go to the heart. I'm talking about adoption into God's family. This is a spiritual blessing that we enjoy as believers, that we are adopted into God's family. Now look back at chapter number 1 of Ephesians. In verses 6 and 7, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. There again, talking about the honor that we enjoy as believers. Not only are we released from the power of sin, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, but we have been accepted in the Beloved. So those words, dear Son and accepted, are linked together because we are accepted because of Jesus Christ. If you're trying to find enough merit to please God tonight, the Bible simply says you can never do that. You'll never be able to please God with your actions. But if you come to Jesus Christ in simple faith and you turn away from trying to please Him yourself and you just fall at the cross of Calvary, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will save you. He'll clean you and he'll give you his honor and he will make you accepted through his name. That is a spiritual blessing that we have. Redemption and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you see that? That is the measure of the grace of God, or the measure of the forgiveness, the measure of the redemption that we have. You know, sometimes we wonder when we sin, will God forgive that? We have to remember, what is the measure of God's grace? It is according to the riches of his grace. God does not have a limit to his riches. It's just amazing to stop and consider. We have adoption into his family. We have acceptance through his son. Verses 9 and 10 talk about we have an alliance with his will. See, I'm trying to alliterate here because I don't get to do that in the Thai language. It just doesn't work. We have adoption into his family. We have acceptance through his son. We have alliance with his will. That means that no longer are we enemies with God. But God is showing us that we have a purpose to walk with him. Now we see that in verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God is not trying to keep his will a mystery from you. That's why it says, having made known unto us. God is revealing unto us the mystery of his will. Because apart from the Holy Spirit explaining the will of God to us, it is a mystery. Because it is diametrically opposed to the will of our flesh. It is the exact opposite of what we naturally feel like doing. But the will of God is really not that difficult if we were to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. These spiritual blessings are all found in salvation. I was asking myself the question, what are the deep things that the Holy Spirit explains to us? Well, number one, they're not what we often call blessings, because the things that we often think about as being the great blessings in life are things that we can see with our eyes, that we can hear about with our ears, that we can understand with our mind or with our emotions. But God says there's even deeper things, deeper blessings that the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to us as believers, trying to remind us who we are, where is our identity, and what do we have in Jesus Christ. And he wants to make known these things to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I just thought about this alliance. You know, John 15 talks about Jesus explaining his disciples that no longer will he call them servants, because the servant does not know what the Lord is doing, what the master is doing. But he says, I call you friends, because all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. And that is the position that the Lord has for us as his children, that everything that is the will of God the Father, God says, I want to make that known to you as his child. I'm not trying to leave any of my children. This is Jesus and his thinking. I'm not trying to leave any of my children out in the dark as far as my will is concerned. Now we see also the gospel and the ministry of the gospel in verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I think about that as the harvest, as the great commission of God. We have a commission to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Why do we do that? Because it is the purpose, it is the will of God. He is the Lord of the harvest, and he is working to gather together in one all things in Jesus Christ. Now, the neat thing about this is that I thought, where do we see this in operation today? We see this in the church. We see that in the church, all things from all different walks of life, people from all different occupations are serving the Lord together. They're giving honor and glory together in the church. That is the working of God. It's a mystery to this world, but it shows the power of God. You are here tonight because God worked in your heart to cause you to yield to the words of God. And we are here to hear from God, to give worship to God. But apart from this meeting, we would never gather together. I mean, apart from Jesus Christ, we would never gather together. We're from all different walks of life, all different occupations, all different levels of education, of understanding, of experience. But God has brought us together in his church because of his glory, because of his purpose. And we have an alliance with his will. we have access to his riches. Number four, we have access to his riches. In verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now this inheritance of God is found in Jesus Christ, and we have access to these riches through our relationship with Jesus. Everything that we need in order to live for the glory of God, we have in Christ. That's why it says in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. God is not trying to withhold anything from you. And you know, the riches that God has, he gives to us in a perfectly timed fashion. That is why if we draw close to Jesus Christ, Matthew 6:33 talks about, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. No, the Bible doesn't say we should seek the kingdom of God for his riches, but we should seek it for his righteousness. Because what is the promise? And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I like that word added because it talks about how God is the one who puts it into our account. He's the one who gives it to us when we need it. And we see this all the time on the mission field. Now, I don't like to think of myself as a worrier, but I tend to worry about things. And I see that when things did not go according to my plan. Now, on the mission field, many things did not go according to plan. In fact, I don't even know why we make plans some days. But I know why we make plans. As Krinigo Day would say, we make them so they can be broken. But we are planners by nature, are we not? Americans are planners. We like to schedule things out. We like to be in control. And one thing that God is teaching me is that I cannot control much of anything. In fact, very few things in life truly do we have control over. But if we seek the righteousness of God, if we understand the spiritual blessings that God has given to us, and we say, you know, God wants us to be aligned with his will, he wants us to be seeking after his righteousness, it's God's responsibility to be adding the things to us that we need. It's no problem for him to add a little finances to your life. It's no problem for him to add a little more grace. It's his will for your life that you would depend upon him. It's no problem for him to remove an obstacle and add his peace. It's no problem for him to give you strength to go through something that you would normally never be able to handle. That is easy for God if we seek after him. Now we're talking about spiritual blessings. These spiritual blessings are hidden from view. They are something that God has already prepared for believers. And I've kind of summarized them, talking about salvation, into the adoption into his family, acceptance through his son, alliance with his will, and access to his riches. I'm sure if we were to really dig in some more, we would find a whole lot more. I know Milton Martin used to tell me that when a believer comes to faith in Jesus Christ, that there are 32 things that happen at that time of salvation. Now, I've not actually explored what those 32 are, but there's a challenge for you. You can write those out and come and tell me what those are. But think about it. All of the things that God has prepared for us through salvation. That's why I say that this is something that God has already given to us as believers. It's not just something that we're waiting for down the road. But God has already prepared this. Now, these spiritual blessings are hidden from view, but they are revealed to you. And this is what I really want to focus on tonight, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because I feel that often we neglect an understanding, or we neglect taking the time to think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because he is given to us as a helper. And many times we neglect and we just kind of set him aside and we choose to live our life without his help. Now look back at our text here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. These are the spiritual blessings. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we're talking about these deep things. These are spiritual blessings that our eye doesn't see, our ear doesn't hear, our heart doesn't understand. But the Spirit explains them to our spirit. Okay? So they are revealed to us. They are deep things. Now, the Holy Spirit searcheth, he investigates these deep things of God in order to explain them to us. That's what the word searcheth means. He searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now look at 11. This is an example. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we think about this in the human realm. You know, we love animals, especially, you know, mankind has adopted many pets that are close. They become like family members. And many times they can sense issues that we have. They can sense when there's sorrow. Maybe a dog will draw close and put his head into our lap when there's a deep sorrow that we're going through. But, you know, the dog cannot understand us at the spirit level. The Bible says that no other being can understand a human spirit except for a human spirit. There's a connection there. You know what that's like when there's a grieving time and you don't really know all the details, but your spirit is grieving because you can sense the grief in someone else's spirit, or you can just sense that something's wrong. No, the Bible says that the heart can communicate to the heart. It's talking about that spirit interacting there. The human spirit understands the human spirit. But it says here, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So if we want to understand the spiritual blessings that God has given to us, as a natural person, we just don't understand that. We're kind of like the dog. We know something's out there, but we just can't quite connect with it. But the Holy Spirit of God, when we become a child of God, that Holy Spirit of God comes to live within our spirit, and He teaches us and He guides us. It's His ministry to reveal to us these spiritual blessings. And that's why I say, you know, we don't have to wait for these blessings in the future. These are blessings that God has already given to us, and He wants us to know about them. The Spirit of God is not the spirit of the world. We see that these spiritual blessings are revealed to you. In number three in my notes, they are explained by the Spirit in verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, I mentioned before that in our ministry in Thailand and Burma, that many people have a misunderstanding of the work of the Holy Spirit of God, which I think I mentioned that. But I'm noticing that more often as I'm teaching the Bible, that the Holy Spirit's ministry is really a mystery. We have a lot of small churches in our area that are trying to, as it were, drum up this fervor of their spirit in order to connect with the Spirit of God. And they think they can do that through loud music and through praying all at the same time, that if they speak the right words, that somehow they can kind of lift up their spirit to somehow reach over the threshold to connect with the Holy Spirit of God. But, you know, that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us. He is the Comforter, and He is teaching us, and He is guiding us. And He is not far off in the distance where we try to have to call Him in, but He is with us at all times. But you know what? I think of many times the Holy Spirit is that still, small voice inside of us that is so easy to quench. So easy for us to say, you know, I'm a little too busy right now, Holy Spirit. You know, I'll catch up with you later. But right now, I've just got to keep trucking along. I've got to keep doing the work of the ministry. I've got to keep pressing forward. And it's so easy not to listen to the best helper that we have in our Christian life, who is with us. And He's trying to explain to us these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. He's trying to help us to know the purpose and the will of God. But many times we don't make any time to listen to that still voice. I was thinking about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's been something that has been a challenge to me as I'm teaching the Bible, that I would know clearly, what is the Holy Spirit trying to do in my life? What is He teaching me about? I want to be as sensitive to His voice. And that's one of the things that I've taken this year as, maybe you could say, like a personal theme, just to be sensitive to my relationship with Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. Because so often I am the man who is rushing about doing things, but not taking time to listen. And that's the honest truth that I like to do. I like to do many things, but I'm convicted I need to take more time to listen, to stop, to pray. Now, I think about this. The Holy Spirit is the one who cleans and seals us as a believer. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has that ministry of renewing our spirit. I think of it like he washes out the old and we receive a new spirit in Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes to live within our spirit and he confirms to us that we are a child of God. That's another one of his ministries, that he is always pointing to Jesus Christ and he is telling us, yes, you are born again. When we read the scripture, he is lifting up Jesus in his words. He comforts us. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Let's turn there. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Classic verse about the scripture. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. John 14 and verse 16. And now in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see the title there. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, there are many, many spirits in this world today, but we have not received the spirit of the world. We have received the Holy Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth, and his ministry is to clarify the truth to us, to guide us into truth. It says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I love verse 18. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. This is Jesus talking. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ are equal. They are God. And so when we think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, we think the Holy Spirit is living with us to help us sharpen our fellowship, to remind us of our relationship, to teach and to guide us how to keep the commands that Jesus has given to us. He teaches and guides. He explains the love of God to us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. I'm just trying to remind myself tonight of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Because he has an active ministry that oftentimes I suppress or push aside. But he is there to teach me and to guide me and to explain the love of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad. That word, that phrase is talking about, it reaches every corner of our heart. How does it do that? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That means the Holy Ghost is explaining to us the love of God. When we are in difficult times, the Holy Ghost is explaining. He's using God's words to help us understand, this is the love of God for you. Yes, you think everything around you is falling apart, but don't you see the love of God? Don't you see what God is doing? Don't you see what you have as a child of God? Do you know, these deep things, these spiritual blessings, they're not something that we can see with our eyes. They're not physical blessings, but they're given to us. They're revealed to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And these are the things that are explained to us by the Spirit. So the more we try to understand about the spiritual life with our mind and with our emotions, you know what? Sometimes I can't think of the correct word, but it's like we're fighting against the work of the Holy Spirit, because oftentimes our mind is trying to understand what is happening, or our emotions are trying to sort out what's happening around us. And we just kind of give up and we say, wow, it's really difficult today to be a Christian. But you know what? In those times, that's when we need to stop and we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, would you help me out here? Because that is his ministry. His ministry is to help us understand the purpose of God, to guide us into truth, and to show us that he is the power of God for living the Christian life. Now, we see that the Apostle Paul is talking about these things for the believers in the church in Corinth because they were kind of caught up in this debate about deep knowledge, Gnosticism. And there were people in the church who were saying, you know, if we could get this higher level of understanding, if we could attain this educational plateau, then we would understand really the deep things. You know, yeah, you new Christians, you don't really understand about these deep spiritual truths that we understand because we've been studying the Bible for a long time. And, you know, when we study the Bible, we use those big words. And you just don't know those big words yet, so you can't understand the deep things of God. But the Apostle Paul is saying the deep things of God are explained to us through the Spirit. They are spiritual blessings that are part of salvation that God wants us to know. They are the words that were preached by the apostles. The apostle Paul, he's trying to say these deep things that people are talking about around you, really, the deeper things are just the words of the gospel that we're sharing with you. In verse 13, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's turn back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, which things also we speak. The Apostle Paul says, these are the things that the Holy Spirit of God teaches, and they're the things that we speak. They are the gospel. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. As we would say, comparing apples with apples. If we want to understand spiritual things, we can't understand them with the natural mind. It says that in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now the Bible says that he that is spiritual, verse 15, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now I thought about that, These words of the gospel that were preached by the apostles, these are the words that the Holy Ghost is teaching. They are the words of Scripture. We have the words of Scripture given to us so that we would know what we have, what spiritual blessings we have in Christ. And I was thinking about that, that these are discerned by the Spirit. And how often do we try to understand the blessings in our life as a believer with the natural mind? So let me give an example. Okay, I'm thinking about a day of ministry in Thailand, and I'm ordering the steps. Okay, I've got a Bible study at 8:30, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to spend some time here, and then I've got to work on this preparation of a lesson because I've got to teach English this afternoon, and then I've got another Bible study, and then we're going to switch, and then Anne's going to take a couple ladies that come to the house. She's going to do a Bible study, and then I'm going to have the kids, and we'll go to the park. And my mind is racing through all the steps in the day. Okay, I've got a busy schedule, got to go, go, go. And God is trying to get a hold of me through the Holy Spirit and tell me, hey, Nat, do you know there are blessings? You're trying to race ahead in the ministry, and there are blessings I'm trying to communicate about your salvation, about what I'm doing, about the purpose that I have, and I'm trying to explain them with the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. So you really need to slow down a little bit in order to hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching. And we see here that the Holy Spirit uses spiritual words to communicate to us these spiritual truths. So if I'm not slowing down and hearing what the Bible says, then I'm not hearing the spiritual words that the Holy Spirit is teaching to me, because I'm just thinking about the natural things constantly. I'm thinking about my schedule, about my needs. Now, these blessings were preached by the apostles. They were discerned by the Spirit. And if you look at the rest of the chapter here, I'll just read these last couple of verses. It says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we've gone very quickly through the majority of this chapter. But as a believer of God, the Bible says that he has given you the mind of Christ through the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. Because as we read the words of God, the Holy Spirit is helping to illuminate those to us and to change our thinking to have the same agreement with what the Bible says. That's why it says we have the mind of Christ. We have the thinking that comes from Christ. But we need to stop and allow ourselves to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that is really my challenge for us tonight, that we would be able to compare spiritual blessings with spiritual thoughts. We'd use spiritual thoughts to think about the blessings that we have as a Christian. And I want to give four examples from these four blessings that I looked at in Ephesians chapter number 1 as we finish out here. So if you turn back to Ephesians chapter number 1, we talk about the adoption into God's family, first of all. In verse number 5, it says that we have, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I was thinking about that. You know, I do not have a visible tag or marker on me that tells me that I'm a Christian. So if I'm having a discouraging day, I can't just reach around and pull out my born again tag. Be like, oh, yes, I'm born again. Do you see that? It's attached right to my suit. You can tell that. Now, sometimes it would really be nice if I could see a flashing light on the head of someone so I could know how they're understanding the gospel. But we do not have that physical marker, but it is the Holy Spirit of God who witnesses to my spirit that I am a child of God. So if I'm trying to understand about my relationship, my adoption, with my mind only, and try to think, wait a minute, or with my feelings, and I think, oh, do I feel like a Christian today? I don't know. I don't really feel that strong of a Christian here. You know, the Bible says we can't understand it. We can't comprehend it in that way. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit reminds us. And He shows us, yes, you are a child of God. When you're in the Bible and you're reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what, that's true. That's true for you. Yes, you've been born again. You have the witness of the Spirit in your heart. Think about being accepted into God's family. You know, God's blessing of acceptance is deeper than words that I can hear with my ears. There is no one in this room, there's no one in this world that can convince me that I am accepted with God like the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit reminds us through the words of God that you're accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in Christ. Alliance with God's purpose, verses 9 to 10. We talked about, you know, I will not understand God's purpose in trials with my human thinking or emotions. It's just not possible. But the Holy Spirit must teach me God's will and prepare my heart and mind. If I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to prepare my heart for the trial that I'm going through, I can't figure it out with my mind. I can't figure it out with my emotions. It doesn't make sense. You know, often what we try to do with our mind and with our emotions, we just try to exit the hardship that we're in because we can't figure it out. And then men and women, we resort to things that just take our mind off of the problem. And that is a weakness that we have as humans. We can't figure it out. And God knows that. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit and the access to God's riches. God has a deeper purpose than exiting hardship, as I mentioned. God's desire is to receive glory in everything that I do. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's God's purpose for us. He saves us to set us apart for Him. He gives us the Holy Spirit of God to remind us that we're believers and to show us how we should walk, to teach us, to remind us of the adoption that we have into God's family, the acceptance of Jesus Christ, the alliance with God's purpose, and the access, the inheritance that we have through Jesus. So I was thinking of three action steps, and these are a challenge for me that I'll share with you as well, that many times in my race of the Christian life, if I could consider it like a race, just a busyness to try and serve the Lord, I need to stop the race. That's the first action point. Stop the race. Do you know that Jesus Christ was never hurried about anything that He did? Yet He only had 3.5 years of ministry, 3.5 years on this earth. And He entrusted His whole ministry to these 12 ordinary guys. And, you know, it's quite amazing to consider that. But Jesus was never in a hurry. He did everything on purpose for a purpose. But how many times do we rush about? And we just need to remind ourselves daily, stop the race. The Christian life is not racing ahead, but we need to pause and we need to bow our face. Okay, these rhyme. Stop the race, bow your face. That just means get alone with the Lord and pray. That's what I need to do daily. Just stop and say, God, You're trying to work in my life through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it's not something I can figure out with my mind or with my emotion. It's not going to enter my heart, but Your Holy Spirit can communicate to my spirit and give me the right thinking and give me the right emotions. Because the third point here is set the pace. God wants you to serve Him. He does. He has a purpose for us, but He doesn't want us to try and accomplish it in our human effort. Amen. So what we need to do is stop racing around for God. You know, our race in the Christian life does not accomplish God's work. It's just often spinning our wheels. But if we bow, if we would just take the time to bow our face and consider the work of the Holy Spirit and just say, you know, I'm stopping right now to listen for what the Holy Spirit is saying, because He's going to speak to me in a still small voice using the words of Scripture. then we could set the pace. We could decide, what do I really need to do next, and what should I set aside? We decide what is important and what should just fall by the wayside. In conclusion tonight, how are you defining God's blessing in your life? Are you letting the words of God fill your thinking? Or are you trying to understand the race, the Christian race, so to speak, with your human understanding and feelings? The Bible says we need to understand the blessings of God by listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. And you will not hear that voice if you're tuned in to the distractions of this world. We have so many distractions around us. It's just amazing. But God says all the more need to just stop the race, bow your face, and set the pace. Let's be determined Christians that we will give honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. And we will do that through yielding to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. God has given him to us to be our teacher. He is our guide, and he will direct us according to God's will. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your words. We thank you that through the work of the Holy Spirit, we have the power of God to live for you. We have the ability that you give because we have your Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that you are constantly trying to remind us that the work is not our own, but it is the ministry that you have. It is your harvest. It is your plan. It is your purpose. And I thank you for this church family, that their heart is to serve you. And I know that we all struggle with distractions in our life. We all struggle with things that cause us to be hurried and rush about. But Lord, we are reminded tonight that we need to listen to your Holy Spirit, because there are deeper things than we see around us. We're caught up in the shallows. But Lord, there are deeper spiritual blessings that you're trying to communicate. And so we pray tonight that you would still our hearts. You would give us peace. You would cause us to think your words. And that, Lord, we would just be willing to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Chris.